Greetings in the precious name of Jesus. Welcome to each one present this morning. You can open your Bibles to 2 Kings chapter 22. I've chosen to look at a character in the Old Testament as a springboard of thoughts for our message this morning. My text I take from 2 Kings chapter 22 and 23, and also we'll be referring to a few verses in 2 Chronicles chapter 34 and 35. If you look at those two passages, they are very similar, very often almost word for word, but the one does contain a few things that the other one doesn't. My title this morning is Josiah, a Godly Example. Some of the school-age children, what do you know about Josiah? Anyone know anything? Anyone remember anything about Josiah? What was so special about him? Anything unusual about his life? Well, maybe it's, yes. Okay, he was only 8 years old when he was made king. Tells us that in 2 Kings chapter 22, verse 1. He was only 8 years old when he became king. And as the story goes on, it refers back to that. Like in verse 3, it says, "And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah." And I think that means the 18th year of his reign. So if he was made king when he was 8, how old was he on the 18th year of his reign? Have any mathematicians? He started out at 8, and 18 years later, how old was he? Anybody? 26, okay. So we're looking at a young man this morning in the scripture. It says in verse 1 also that he reigned 31 years in Israel. So how old was he when he died? Anyone? Okay. So the whole life story that we're looking at this morning took place between the ages of 8 and 39. If you're between the ages of 8 and 39, would you stand, please? All right, that's well over half of us. You may be seated. Thank you. That's Josiah's age this morning. We have many young people, and my challenge to you from this message this morning would be to be as Josiah. For just a little backdrop, if you look at 2 Kings chapter 21, you find a little bit where Josiah grew up and what took place in the years before him. Directly before King Josiah, the king was the king of Ammon, who only reigned for 2 years, and he did evil in the sight of the Lord. It doesn't tell a lot about him. But prior to that was a man by the name of Manasseh, and he had been king in Judah for 55 years. He had started out as a very young man, too. Tells us how old he was. It says he was 12 years old when he was made king. Chapter 21, verse 1. And he reigned in Judah for 55 years. And just a little bit of summary of that chapter, what he did during those 55 years. Again and again, it's mentioned that he built up altars for Baal. He worshipped all the hosts of heaven. He made his children pass through the fire, Molech. That simply means that he offered his children to the god of Molech. They were burnt in the arms of Molech as a sacrifice. That's the kind of man Manasseh was. Manasseh used enchantments. He dealt with familiar spirits and wizards. He seduced the children of Israel to do more evil than the wicked nations whom they had destroyed when they came to Canaan. That's Josiah's generation before him. That's where he was living, in the midst of idolatry, in the midst of wickedness. 2 Kings chapter 22 and verse 1. Josiah was 8 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. And his mother's name was Jedidah, the daughter of Adiah of Bosketh. And he did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, and walked in all the way of David his father, and turned not aside to the right hand or to the left. And it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshullam, the scribe, to the house of the Lord, saying. So you see Josiah is sending someone to the house of the Lord. And he says, go up to Hilkiah the high priest, that he may sum the silver which is brought into the house of the Lord, which the keeper of the door have gathered of the people, and let them deliver it into the hand of the doers of the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord, and let them give it to the doers of the work which is in the house of the Lord to repair the breaches of the house, unto carpenters and builders and masons, and to buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house. Howbeit there was no reckoning made with them of the money that was delivered into their hand, because they dealt faithfully. So Josiah was interested in repairing the house of the Lord. Verse 8, and Hilkiah the high priest said unto Shaphan the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. I get the picture here as they were cleaning the house of the Lord, as they were looking for the money, the offering that was there, collecting it all for the king. As they were doing that, they found this book, the book of the law. And Shaphan the scribe came to the king and brought the king word again and said, thy servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of them that do the work, that have the oversight of the house of the Lord. And Shaphan the scribe showed the king, saying, Hilkiah the priest hath delivered me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. And it came to pass, when the king had heard the words of the book of the law, that he rent his clothes. Seems apparent to me that we see another thing that happened during Manasseh's reign. History would lend itself to this. The Bible doesn't really say this, but it would appear to be true by verse 11 and by the finding of this book. History would say that Manasseh endeavored to get rid of the law of God. Every copy that was anywhere he wanted to get rid of, destroyed it in any way that he could, destroyed men who wanted to preserve it. And it appears to me that Josiah never saw this book before. And the book was read to him. I believe it was the law of Moses. And as the rest of the chapter reads, it would lend itself to a number of chapters in the book of Deuteronomy, I believe it is, where Moses tells God's people in a very lengthy discourse about what's going to happen if they worship idols. And so Josiah was living in the midst of Judah, living in the midst of idolatry, and the words of that book were read to him, And he rent his clothes. In Bible times, when you rent your clothes, it was because of sorrow or sadness or repentance. It was a time of great distress when you rent your clothes. Verse 12, and the king commanded Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam the son of Shaphan and Achbor the son of Micaiah and Shaphan the scribe and Asahiah, a servant of the king, saying, go ye, inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that is found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is kindled against us, because our fathers have not hearkened unto the words of this book, to do according unto all that which is written concerning us. It could be asked, well, why couldn't Josiah inquire of the high priest? But he sends men to go inquire of the Lord. Apparently, none of the men who found the book knew much about the Lord either. Verse 14, so Hilkiah the priest and Ahikam and Achbor and Shaphan and Asahiah went on to Huldah, the prophetess, the wife of Shalom, of the son of Tikva, the son of Harris, keeper of the wardrobe. Now she dwelt in Jerusalem in the college, and they communed with her. And she said unto them, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, tell the man that sent you to me, thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring evil upon this place and upon the inhabitants thereof, even all the words of the book which the king of Judah hath read, because they have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore my wrath shall be kindled against this place and shall not be quenched. But to the king of Judah, which sent you to inquire of the Lord, thus shall ye say to him, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, as touching the words which thou hast heard, because thine heart was tender, and thou hast humbled thyself before the Lord, when thou heardest what I spake against this place and against the inhabitants thereof, that they should become a desolation and a curse, and hast rent thy clothes and wept before me, I also have heard thee, saith the Lord. Behold, therefore, I will gather thee unto thy fathers, and thou shalt be gathered into the grave in peace. And thine eyes shall not see all the evil which I will bring upon this place. And they brought the king word again. Not sure why they needed to go to the prophetess to inquire of the Lord, but that's what they did, and the Lord spoke through her. And the Lord affirmed that, yes, he would do what Moses said he would do with an idolatrous nation. But he also said that because of the king and his tender heart and his humility, that he would not do it during the lifespan of Josiah. A bit of a message of mercy to Josiah. And yet, if you were in his stead as the king of Judah, a very discouraging message, perhaps, that God said, yes, I will do what I said I would do. I don't have time to go back and read the account that Moses wrote, but he painted quite a picture of what was going to happen, the desperateness of the situation. And God says, I still will do that. I just won't do it in your lifetime. You will rest in peace. What would your response be if that is the message that you got from as a young man from God. I find it interesting, Josiah's response in chapter 23. His response is, I believe, different than many human responses would be to it. God had promised it wouldn't happen during his lifetime. So what? God had promised that it was going to happen nevertheless. And so what was there to do? Because the condemnation was going to fall. As we look at what Josiah did in chapter 23, perhaps we could say, well, Josiah maybe believed that God, after he did all this, and the people that followed Josiah and did what he said in chapter 23, maybe they believed that God would have mercy at the end. God would change his mind. But at any rate, in chapter 23, the king sent, and they gathered unto him all the elders of Judah and Jerusalem. And the king went up into the house of the Lord, and all the men of Judah, and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem with him, and the priests, and the prophets, and all the people, both small and great. And he read in their ears all the words of the book of the covenant, which was found in the house of the Lord. And the king stood by a pillar and made a covenant before the Lord to walk after the Lord and to keep his commandments and his testimonies and his statutes with all their heart and all their soul, to perform the words of this covenant that were written in this book. And all the people stood to the covenant, which means that they agreed that they would keep the covenant that Josiah made. Following that, I see a whole list of what I call purifying actions. I'm not going to read them all. You can look down over them as we go. In verses 4 and 6, Josiah had the vessels that were in the temple that were made for Baal brought out of the temple and burned. In verse 5, he put down the idolatrous priests. In verse 7, he broke down the houses of the Sodomites, who were prostitutes. In verse 8, he defiled the idolatrous high places, or he made them terrible places to go to, so no one would ever want to go back. In verse 10, he defiled Topheth. That T-O-P-H in the beginning of that word, T-O-P-H, has the idea of a trumpet. That's why it was named that, because trumpets were usually blown there. And it was the place of, it was the altar of Molech. It's where the children were sacrificed by fire. And the desperate crying of the children needed to be drowned out by something, and so they blew trumpets while they burnt their children. And Josiah defiled Topheth so that no one would ever want to go back there. No one would ever want to do anything there. He destroyed everything that was there. In verse 11, he destroyed horses and chariots that were dedicated to the sun god. In verse 12, he beat down idolatrous idols, ground them to powder. Verse 15. Keep your finger there. Turn back to 1 Kings chapter 13. I'm going to compare these two passages. This was a new thought to me, that what happened in verses 15 to 18 was prophesied back in 1 Kings chapter 13. And it happens exactly as it was prophesied. We see the finger of God in this when we look at this. 1 Kings chapter 13, verse 1 and 2. And behold, there came a man of God out of Judah by the word of the Lord unto Bethel, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And he cried against the altar in the word of the Lord and said, O altar, altar, thus saith the Lord, behold, a child shall be born unto the house of David, Josiah by name. And upon thee shall he offer the priest of the high places that burn incense upon thee, and men's bones shall be burnt upon thee. Verse 15 in 2 Kings chapter 23. Moreover, the altar that was at Bethel, and the high place which Jeroboam the son of Nebat, who made Israel to sin, had made, both that altar and the high place he brake down, and burned the high place, and stamped it small to powder, and burned the grove. And as Josiah turned himself, he spied the sepulchres that were there in the mount, and sent and took the bones out of the sepulchres, or out of the graves, and burned them upon the altar, and polluted it according to the word of the Lord, which the man of God proclaimed, who proclaimed these words. Exact fulfillment of what was prophesied. Verse 17, then he said, what title is this that I see? And the man of the city told him, it is the sepulcher of the man of God, which came from Judah, and proclaimed these things that thou hast done against the altar of Bethel. And he said, let him alone. Let no man move his bones. So they let his bones alone with the bones of the prophet that came out of Samaria. In verse 20, Josiah slew all the priests of idolatrous high places. In verse 21, and the king commanded all the people, saying, keep the Passover unto the Lord your God, as it is written in the book of this covenant. Surely there was not holden such a Passover from the days of the judges that judged Israel, nor in all the days of the kings of Israel, nor of the kings of Judah, but in the 18th year of King Josiah, wherein this Passover was holden to the Lord of Jerusalem. And you have description of that. Passover, the keeping of the Passover, which apparently had not been kept. Any time in Josiah's life or any time in Manasseh's life before him. Let's just turn to 2 Chronicles 35. There's a little bit more of a vivid description here. It's so easy for us to say, keep the Passover. What really did it all? What effort, what expense did Josiah go to here? 2 Chronicles chapter 35. And verse 7. Here we see the giving of Josiah as well. And Josiah gave to the people of the flock lambs and kids, all for the Passover offerings, for all that were present, to the number of 30,000 and 3,000 bullocks. These were the king's substance. And his princes gave willingly unto the people, to the priests and to the Levites, Hilkiah and Zechariah and Jehiel, rulers of the house of God, gave unto the priests for the Passover offerings 2,600 small cattle and 300 oxen. Keep on reading and you see some more astounding numbers of animals that were needed for the Passover at the expense of Josiah, the king. He could have spent this money elsewhere, but he saw that the book that he found, the book that he read, said that he was to keep the Passover, and so he kept it. In verse 25 of 2 Kings chapter 23, we have what I would call the summary of Josiah's life. And like unto him was there no king before him that turned to the Lord with all his heart and with all his soul and with all his might according to the law of Moses, neither after him arose there any like him. But note verse 26 yet. Notwithstanding, the Lord turned not from the fierceness of his great wrath, wherewith his anger was kindled against Judah, because of all the provocations that Manasseh had provoked him with. So in spite of the people's repentance, in spite of Josiah laying everything out and doing what he found he was to do, the Lord still didn't turn away from his fierce wrath. The next part of the message I would like to take from this passage that we just read, I would like to take 8 points directly from the life of Josiah that I believe brought him to verse 25, where God could say that of him. And I believe they are points that we can take as young people today. I'm going to call them points to the path of a righteous life. How did Josiah get to living a righteous life in the midst of the wicked nation that he was part of? How was he able to accomplish that? How was he able to accomplish that when he knew that God's wrath was not going to be kindled by his repentance? And how are you and I going to accomplish that in a world today, in a country of America that is doomed, and that God will not change his mind about the fierceness of his wrath? Can you live in the midst of that today as a young person and find your life as Josiah did? Point number one, I take from 2 Chronicles chapter 34. I'd like to turn there, and there's one verse there that I did not read yet. And I like how it's put there. 2 Chronicles chapter 34 and verse 3 reads like this, speaking of Josiah, "For in the 8th year of his reign, while he was yet young," in the 8th year of his reign, he would have been 16, in verse 3, it says, "He began to seek after the God of David, his father." That's my point number one. As a youth, he began to seek after God. I see an earnest desire at 16 years of age to seek after the God of David. As a youth, he began to seek after God. Point number two comes from 2 Kings 22 and verse 3. He did that which was right. Now, if he didn't have the law, and he didn't have any godly examples before him, perhaps he had some. I don't know. Maybe the high priest encouraged him in his path. Maybe there were some men that understood, and yet it doesn't seem like there was many that knew much. But it says in verse 3, he did that which was right. He did that which was right. And I believe he did at that point in his life, he did what he knew was right. To you as a young person this morning, are you doing what you know is right? If you do what you know is right, God will show you more light and more right. Point number three, I take from verse 19. God said through this prophetess that Josiah's heart was tender. So I wrote it down this way: he had a tender heart. Do you and I this morning have a tender heart? Is it pliable? Is it teachable? Does it want to know what is right? Josiah's was. He had a tender heart. Point number four, verses 3-7 of chapter 22. We read those verses. Josiah, I believe, was 26 at this time of his life, and he began, I wrote it simply this way, he began to repair the house of God. Maybe that's all he knew to do. He didn't have the law. He didn't know how to practice the Passover. Doesn't appear that he did. He didn't know a lot of things, but somehow he saw the house of God in disarray. He saw the house of God with idols in it to others than the true God. And he began to repair the house of God. He did what he knew. And while he was doing what he knew, while his men were doing what he knew to do, what he thought was a good thing to do, to repair the house of God, they found this book. They found the book. The book that made everything else happen in chapter 22 and 23. And when the book was read to him, I take this from verse 19 and verse 11, he was humble and rent his clothes. He was humble and rent his clothes. The reading of the law produced that in him. It produced godly sorrow. He realized that the people of God were not doing what God wanted them to do, and he rent his clothes. He was humble. Again, from verse 19, God says through the prophetess that he wept before God. We don't have a vivid description of this anywhere, but it says that because you wept before me. So point number 6, he wept before God. Point number 7, I take from verse 13. He sought the Lord's will. Go ye, inquire of the Lord for me and for the people and for all Judah. He read the law. He knew that they weren't obeying what was there, but he wanted to know more. And he said, go inquire of the Lord for me. He sought the Lord's will. Point number 8. We see this all through chapter 23, all through the rest of his life. The purifying actions that I talked about, the things that he did, I labeled it this way: he obeyed God's law. He obeyed God's law. At the risk of his own life, no doubt about it, that going out and destroying all these idols as he did and killing the prophets and the anyone who was offering sacrifices to the wrong God. He did it at the risk of his life. He did it at great expense, like we noted. The people didn't have the animals for the sacrifices, and so he gave them. He did that at great expense. He obeyed God's law. Thinking about those 8 points and applying them to your life, begin to seek after God. Do that which is right. Have a tender heart. Begin to repair the house of God. Be humble and rent your clothes. Weep before God. Seek the Lord's will and be willing to obey God's law at any risk. Josiah was willing to do that. The children of Israel, I believe many of them, it would appear in this account, were ready to do that as well, in spite of the fact that they knew that the fierceness of God's wrath was still upon them, and that when Josiah died, it would come. They were still condemned, but they still wanted to live a righteous life for God in their day. May you be inspired to the path of a righteous life that Josiah lays before us. today. Can you and I identify and put away idols? If Josiah was here today, I think he would know how to do that. We have the whole scripture. Josiah had so little of it. What would he do if he had this whole book? Well, he would read it and study it and apply it to his life. Can you and I identify and put away idols in our lives? What will you and I do to help break down the houses of sodomy today? I realize that we don't do the same things all the way. We're in the New Testament era, and Josiah's actions, what God called him to do, were not the same as all of ours, but I believe we can apply them to our life today. And I believe God would have us to break down the houses of sodomy today. Josiah could also hear the children crying. And he went out there to that altar of Molech and he demolished it. And he made it a place so that no one would ever go back. And no children would ever cry. Can you hear the children crying? What will you do about it? And last of all, what will you do when you read this book? And it tells you to change. Will you change? May God help us to live lives patterned after Josiah. Shall we kneel for prayer?